of Vincent's three-part talk. And if we work it right, we might get a fifth part of his three-part talk. So anyway, you know, he has been talking about the prayer of the heart, and there's always something more to learn, and so thank you very much.
I'm very glad to be with you again, and hopefully we will be able to finish my remarks in time for some good discussion. I've entitled this part of our series on contemplative prayer, Inner Prayer and Neptic Fasting, Breaking Down the Middle Wall of Partition. And so I want to begin by speaking a little bit about the actual title, and in particular, what is meant by breaking down the middle wall of partition. So I'll begin by reading from the book of Ephesians, the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, if you read the epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2, the entire chapter, to get the context, it's very clear that he is talking about the people of the circumcision, the Jewish people, and the people of the uncircumcision, who are the Gentiles. And so most scholars and those who study the book of Ephesians will see that the middle will recognize and declare that the middle wall of partition is essentially that which separates the Gentiles from the Jewish people. And that with the coming of Christ and his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, and the redemptive life that he's given to us, that he's broken down that wall of partition that separates the chosen people from the Gentiles, and now both of us, both peoples, can inherit the kingdom and can participate in all the graces and the glories of the kingdom of heaven. But it's interesting to note that the fathers of the church have seen much more in that middle wall of partition than simply that between the Jews and the Gentiles, much more than just saying that in Christ there is no male and female, there is no Jew, there is no Jew, no Greek, no bond, nor free, etc. They see something else, something of a higher dimension, and that relates directly to our discussion and meditation on interior prayer, on noetic prayer. In the homilies of John Chrysostom on Ephesians, when he's talking about chapter 2 and about the middle wall of partition, he says that the middle wall of partition, in reality, is that between God and man as a whole, or that between the uncreated and the created. That's the real middle wall of partition, and that's the true breaking down of that wall that was brought by Christ, by the incarnation and crucifixion, death, resurrection, ascension of Christ and the descent of the Holy Spirit. This is confirmed literally almost 1,000 years later by St. Gregory Palamas himself in talking about prayer, And he says exactly the same thing, that the middle wall of partition that is broken down is that between the divine and the created world, that between God and man, that between the infinite and the finite, that between the eternal and the temporal. That's what the middle wall of partition is. How does that relate to our understanding of prayer, then? It relates in just this way, that if true prayer is essentially nothing but, or rather, I shouldn't use nothing but in this regard, but rather, in reality, prayer is communion with God, is the seeking of the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, uniting ourselves with God, then really the quest of prayer for each one of us, true prayer, is the breaking down of the middle wall of partition, understood as that between God and man, understood as that between the eternal and the temporal, or the infinite and the finite. So that's how we will understand the middle wall of partition in our discussion of noetic prayer. You could say that the what Paul is speaking of, what he is speaking of as the middle wall of partition, is whatever it is in creation, whatever it is in our understanding of or participation in the created order that keeps us from experiencing God in the way we are supposed to. And that forms a wall, a barrier that separates us from God. And prayer, then, is precisely that which pierces the barrier, that which eliminates it, that which breaks it down. You know, in preparing for this talk, I was writing down some notes, just random notes, and I was putting together, I put down on my piece of paper, inner prayer. And then I was writing, I put down certain elements of it that I thought were a part of it. And then I looked at it, when I looked at it, I unconsciously or unbeknownst to myself, I had written down a definition of interior prayer that it seems fairly complete. And so let me give you that definition when we are looking at breaking down the inner wall of partition. Here is my attempt at a definition. A definition of the practice of inner prayer. The progression of the prayer of repentance from verbal prayer to mental prayer, coupled with the purification of our interior being, leading to the intermittent experience of and gradual permanent acquisition of prayer in the heart through the complete commitment to the continuous practice and invocation of the Jesus Prayer with the hope and aim of attaining the grace of pure and unceasing prayer.
Could you repeat that?
Very slowly.
Yes.
I thought so. This is a definition of the practice of inner prayer. The progression of the prayer of repentance from verbal prayer to mental prayer, coupled with, conjoined with, the purification of our interior being, In other words, ascetic practice leading to dispassion. Leading to the intermittent experience of and gradual permanent acquisition of prayer in the heart, or the prayer of the heart, through a total commitment to the continuous practice of the Jesus Prayer, or continuous invocation of the name of the Lord, with the hope and the aim of attaining the grace of pure and unceasing prayer. Now, what's included in that definition is a profound fear on my part in this whole series of talks that I have had, which is one that I would say things about the theory and practice of the Jesus Prayer and a prayer of the heart and unceasing prayer that would cause my hearers, cause people to feel despair, or feel like they'll never be able to attain anything like this, or feel this goal, this practice of the prayer of the heart, is so far above where we are that we won't even try, that we won't even make an effort. Or the fear that people hear things, you hear things in accordance with your consciousness of the moment, right? You hear things in accordance with what you're capable of hearing. And it may be that people will hear certain aspects of this in a certain way and try to apply them in their lives that will be harmful, or that will cause them some distress. Now, I don't have the fear so much when I'm speaking in a monastic community, because the monastic community, as I've said before, is oriented around this entire thing. It's oriented around a life of prayer, and the life in community in an Orthodox way causes one to submit to one another, and that the practice of obedience is there, and one has a spiritual mother or a spiritual father, and so that gives one a certain degree of security, at least, that one won't go astray too far. But obviously, this will get out. I mean, there are the people here who have heard some of this who aren't in a monastic practice. I console myself for the fact that there are thousands of books out there that say, many books that say similar things, and one can't control who reads what. You can read The Way of the Pilgrim and go astray, I suppose, just as much as you can listen to somebody talking about it.